CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. The Space Force. The Space Force is grouped with the Air Force under the Secretary of the Air Force. And thanks to Francis Rose, who keeps the podcast FedGov Today, and now the TV show FedGov Today, which premiered on April 30th. Next stop is Sunday morning next, 10:30 a.m. on Channel 7 in the nation's capital. Thanks to his conversation with Frank Kendall, the 26th Secretary of the Air Force, what I learned is, let's go. Let's get the money. Let's go. Francis, Frank Kendall is extremely convincing. He had an earlier job in the Department of Defense, which taught him a great deal about acquisitions and authorizations and how Congress works. He's not impatient. He's very wise about how government works, but he wants it to go faster. Will it? Good evening to you, Francis.
Good evening, John. Thanks for having me on the program. Yeah, Frank's previous job was Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics. And so he was the primary responsible official in DOD for those three things. He reported to the Deputy Secretary of Defense and the Secretary of Defense in the Obama administration. And now as the Secretary of the Air Force, the entire service overseeing the Air Force and Space Force, as you mentioned, that construct is similar to the Navy and Marine Corps, where the co-located services are under one branch of the military. Will it go faster? I think that's the $64 billion question in Washington, because every member of the uniformed military that I speak to, and more commonly the civilian personnel too, are saying speed is important. Time is of the essence, especially in countering the threat from China. The challenge is, as Secretary Kendall discussed on my show, that it's not only up to the military services and the Pentagon as a joint force to determine the cadence and speed with which they're able to implement and execute. It's also dependent on Congress giving them the authorization and appropriation that they need to be able to move out. And that's the big stumbling block that I think people all over Washington see, as far as people like Secretary Kendall and others trying to be able to drive speed in the military process, John.
Frank Kendall says very clearly, continuing resolution will not do, not acceptable. He wants the bill passed. He wants the whole appropriation in his hand to spend, correct?
That's right. And there's actually two pieces to this, for not just the Pentagon, but for every federal agency. What he's referring to there is the appropriation, the money, the actual money. There's also an authorization process that you and I have talked about before. The National Defense Authorization Act each year basically says the House and Senate Armed Services Committees have approved the Department of Defense and the components within to spend money on these things. The appropriation process is the actual giving of the money, where the House Appropriations and Senate Appropriations Committee say, here is the actual funding to do these things that you're authorized to do by the Armed Services Committees. The authorization is not usually the problem. The Congress has passed a Defense Authorization Act for something like 60 or 61 years in a row on time, no problem. The stumbling block has been the appropriations. And what Secretary Kendall's referring to is the federal government's appropriations year, fiscal year, ends September 30th. The new one begins October 1st. There has not been an appropriations in place, a full appropriation in place on October 1st for any year, I don't believe, of the last 14, I think it's been, since the bills have been done on time. And they've run, of course, as late as March a couple of years back. And we've had periods where there are government shutdowns. And the problem there is you can't do anything new. You have continuing means you continue working not just at the top line dollar level that you were working at before, but all of the individual line items underneath. You continue working at those levels. And so new weapon systems and new personnel deployments and so on don't happen because Congress basically is saying you just keep doing what you've been doing.
One team, one fight is Secretary's proverb. He applies it to his conversations in working with General Brown, General Raymond, and now General Saltzman of the Space Force. Let's build something, Francis. He says he wants 12 new starts, but he was keen on something called uncrewed aircraft. What is that, and what will it do for him?
Well, what it'll do for him is it will give him the ability to be present in more places. It will give General Brown and General Saltzman, the chief of staff of the Air Force and of the Space Force, respectively, the ability to be more forward present, to be in more places at the same time, because you don't have to put crews into those craft. I called them drone swarms. Secretary Kendall kind of deferred on that nomenclature and went to the uncrewed platforms that nomenclature that you just described. But it's commonly understood, I would say, in Washington that that's what not just the Air Force, but the Navy's moving toward that. The Marine Corps is moving toward that. Even the Army is starting to look at what the possible platforms are that could be uncrewed and thereby provide more presence wherever they need to fight.
What is a new start? We should define that. 12 new starts. What does that mean?
So new starts are new programs that the service has not undertaken before. And that's what doesn't happen during a continuing resolution. So these are platforms that the Air Force isn't building now, isn't doing now. And it's not peculiar to the Air Force. The Army and the Navy, Marine Corps, have new starts that have been impacted by continuing resolutions, too. And I imagine if you went and spoke to any of their service secretaries, they would say the same thing Secretary Kendall did, which is continuing resolution is no good for us.
The secretary was also saying, I don't want experiments. I don't want beta. I want production. I want people. Francis, this is like World War II here. I mean, you know, it's like Admiral King saying, get out there and sink Japanese ships. He's got that momentum because he's in a race with whom? Who's the opponent?
It's China and Russia. And the administration has been very clear, just as I think the Trump administration was clear, that China and Russia are the pacing threats. And that language is not uncommon now from either civilian or uniformed leaders in the military. They're very straightforward about who they're trying to compete with and who they understand is trying to compete with the United States. And so that's the reason, I think, for the urgency that you hear in the secretary's remarks and the need for speed that everybody is talking about inside and outside the building that has anything to do with the military operation for the United States, John.
What was so helpful to understand, because there's a lot of Washington language that I have to write down and ask you translation to, is that I got the sense that the secretary is not sitting around waiting for something to happen. He's communicating with Congress every day through his lieutenants and through his own voice. Let's go, let's go. And with the momentum I saw on your TV show, if they see this in Congress, they're going to want to have something to show the secretary tomorrow, Francis.
Well, and I would say that's the same kind of urgency that I see from the Secretary of the Navy, Carlos Del Toro, and the Secretary of the Army, Christine Wormuth, neither of them yet on FedGov today, but in process to talk to both of them. But when I see them at other events around town or see them give speeches or whatever, they're talking about urgency in the same way that Secretary Kendall did on my show. They know there's no time to waste in trying to compete with China.
FedGov Today, the podcast twice a week from Francis Rose. The TV show is on Sunday morning, next Sunday morning, 10:30 in the morning. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.